Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The way they're playing, it's showtime as Montgomery gets into the secondary. He's inside the 40. He's got a blocker up ahead. David Montgomery's going the distance. Showtime for the Lions.
Kool-Aid drinkers.
We are back, baby. We are back, and we are here on the live stream on YouTube at DTBK, where we are talking about this wild 41-38 victory over the Chargers of Los Angeles in LA. Wow. We're going to have a lot to talk about, the good and a lot of ugly. Depends on what side of the ball you're talking about in this regard. We're getting all that. But I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of Blue Kool-Aid Crew that is here. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Bob.
What's up, everybody?
Gentlemen. So I want to first just throw this. I want to talk about the positive here first, and that is the offense. Just firing on all cylinders in this game. Absolutely unstoppable. No sacks on either side of the ball. We'll get to our side of the ball in a moment. Mm-hmm. But from either team, no sacks in this game, which is kind of wild in itself. But Jared Goff, 23 of 33, 333 yards, two touchdowns. And then the running game, just absolutely on fire, too. David Montgomery, 116 yards on 12 carries for one touchdown. Gibbs, 77 yards on 14 carries for two touchdowns. I mean, Run Dog, I mean, just talk about a little bit about this. What was working for this offense against this Chargers defense?
That was kind of what we talked about
from
last week, our health. It was the first time we got a chance to see Montgomery and Gibbs healthy, and with Gibbs having a little bit of experience under his belt now so that he has sort of the tempo of the game. And, man, what a two-headed monster we got here. For a second there early on, I was like, wow, should we ever give anyone but Gibbs the ball? But then Montgomery goes and breaks out a 75-yard touchdown run, and you're just like, okay, I really like what we got going on here. But, I mean, the O-line being healthy, the blocking was great. Like, it was just, you know, it was our strength on full display.
Yeah, UJ, the Lions finally get full strength, on, especially on the offensive line, and I think it definitely showed today.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And one of the things I just had to bring up on this, I mean, yeah, they were clicking in all cylinder, but the couple times where they did sort of get in trouble, if you can even call it that, where they had third and long and they had to answer because San Diego scored, what do? Go to Amon-Ra St. Brown. That guy is absolutely money, just money, man. Every time they need that big first down or that big play, he is always there. Unbelievable. That guy is absolutely fantastic.
Well, almost every day. On some fourth downs, they go to Sam Laporta, too, right, Bob?
Yeah.
And he actually featured in the running attack.
Yeah. They went to Laporta later in the game when they really needed some a clutch first down. Yeah. But I'm with you, UJ. I mean, I'm on what a safety blanket is for this offense. And not only a safety blanket, but he's an exciting. he did some crazy today with the ball, too. I mean, he's an awesome player. Just so fun to watch.
Yeah, there's not enough superlatives for him the way he plays. Honest to God, just too
and
good.
I thought that the O line was like really firing runners today. It was amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was fun to watch.
Yeah,
first time we get to see them all together at the same time. Beautiful.
Absolutely, and it could have been even a little better. That call early in the game on the chop block from Decker was very
bogus.
Questionable. That was pretty bad.
That made no sense.
There's a few very, very questionable penalty calls, and that was one of them for sure.
Yes.
Like, there are situations when chop blocking is illegal, but I did not see any of them on that play.
Yeah, what was wrong with that?
They said he was out of the box when he did it. Like, you can only do it.
But he didn't really get him either. That's the thing. It came up a little short. I thought it was a bad call.
That's bogus.
Yeah, it was not a great call, I didn't think. But either way, and it took a touchdown away from J-Mo, which I really wanted to see because, you know, we're always trying to get J-Mo on track, you know. But still, I think he had a decent game. He made a really fine catch later in the game, which, you know, showed he actually does have hands. And he also had that key block on Montgomery's touchdown run. So, you know, good stuff by J-Mo.
Yeah. Solid game for him.
And also the name of the game for the Lions offense in this one was, well, first of all, not trusting the defense and going for it on fourth down, possibly at the end of the game. But, I mean, they're also 4 for 5 on fourth down in this game. Just absolutely electric.
Can we just talk about that for 1 second, though? At the end, there's a minute 40-some to go, and we have fourth and, what, 3 or 4 yards, and Campbell fucking goes for it. I mean, I was rooting for it. I wanted him to go for it. I was hoping he would, and he did. Oh, my God. That's just that guy, balls of steel, man. Unbelievable, and he trusts his offense that much. Because that's the difference between winning the game outright or – possibly giving the ball back to San Diego, who'd been treading us, and letting them come down the field and possibly score. I mean, they took that possibility out of the picture by doing that.
I thought that was the factor there. Was the fact that we were getting shredded, that it was safer probably to go for it there and to let our defense handle it.
And honestly, did we want to give Riley that kick that range right there and with the prospect of them getting the ball back? Like, if he misses it there and they get the ball back, I mean...
I don't know, like, even on the 41-yarder he made, that would have been good from, like, 55.
I don't know
why the Lions have, like, he must not show anything in practice from above 50 yards, because he puts a good leg on these, like, 40-yarders.
He does.
Honestly, I think you can make a couple arguments different ways, but it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not denying that.
Dan clearly felt it and went for it, and I don't think it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think it was a Riley thing. I think it was the fact that our defense couldn't stop anything remotely. Don't give the Chargers a chance to get the ball back. Because if the Lions kick a field goal there, I was not very confident that our defense could stop them from scoring a touchdown in a minute and 50 seconds.
There is that, yeah.
Right.
So,
but maybe Campbell was saying he has confidence in our defense by going forward on fourth, because if he didn't make it, well, the defense can stop him, right?
Well, he definitely showed confidence and confidence in the upper half, for sure.
Both ways.
I mean, just a very even back-and-forth game. Probably the biggest thing is a turnover in this game as far as the unevenness. But, I mean, time of possession was almost exactly equal. 30 minutes, 34 seconds for the Lions. 29 minutes, 26 seconds for the Chargers. Penalties, 44 yards for us, 36 for them. It seemed like we had more penalties based on the effectiveness of ours. We committed a pass interference to 3rd and 12. That can't happen. Cam Sutton had two defense pass interferences in this game.
Yeah, but one was completely – I'm sorry, that last one was completely bogus, if you ask me. But
the one in the end zone, right?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Lions go 7 for 8, stopping them on the goal line. Couldn't get them on the 8th one, though.
Initiative really helped in this game. The fact that we came out of the gate much more effective and looked like we were really dominating that game, because really – down the stretch, it came down to who was going to get the ball last, and they never actually gained the initiative on us. They never got the chance to actually go ahead in the game. Every time they tied it, we came back and answered, and that was pretty excellent.
Absolutely. What a game by the O. Incredible game.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned it about UJ. I just want to mention it again. Like, Monroe St. Brown just came out guns blazing right over the middle. And Goff, we got to give him credit too. He knows where he needs to go with the ball at all times, as long as he's getting protection. And the offensive line stepped up in a big way. I don't even remember Bosa or Mack or anybody on this defensive line for the Chargers being called once. Like, even Goff, like, trying to avoid a rush at, like, point. Like,
the only time I remember was in the red zone. the red zone on that one when we went for fourth down and they got up the middle.
Oh, that's
right
fair.
Away.
True, yeah.
But that was it. Like, there was not a lot of that.
Yeah. It was a clinic. It was an absolute clinic. Especially, I got for instance, like the touchdown throw to Brock Wright. That was the thing. Beauty is perfectly placed over the top because he can't throw him too far, but he can't throw him too short.
Rainbow.
Placed perfectly. That one, I want to say the back shoulder on like a post in the red zone to Monroe St. Brown. He really threaded like I wanted to say back. It wasn't quite back shoulder, but it was Monroe caught it on his back shoulder. He lasered it right in between two people where it didn't look like there's much of a throw available at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just ridiculous. Being able to thread the needle like that. And he's been doing it all year. That's not something new that we've seen on him. Just a fantastic performance from Goff all around in this one. And it helps when you have a clean pocket to throw to all game, which he did. So thing of beauty. We can maybe get to the defense or offense more in a second. Let's go to the other. We can't keep talking without starting to mention the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
Connor's not on here. He would be calling for Aaron Glenn's head again. Yeah. It'd be like the third or fourth time. But this is twice in the last three games we have given up 38 points on the defensive side of the ball. It's not good. The Lions had no pass, as I mentioned, no sacks in this game from either side. The Lions had a little more opportunity than the Chargers, I would say, to get a sack. They kept letting
Hutch got Herbert there nearly.
Yeah, I hate the nearly sacks.
But like, it, honestly, this Herbert almost felt like every other. Like, it felt like a repeat of. There seems to be a trend of when our defense struggles, it looks very similar to what happens when you play the Seahawks and the Ravens, and now him. Like, one time we should have got him sacked. He scrambles and makes a big play. it's that like we just couldn't. Every game where we've struggled on defense, our pass rush just can't quite get home, and the pass pressure never quite gets to the quarterback, and it's inconsistent. And that just seems to be the hallmark of when our defense gives up points, because once you do that, our secondary, which I still think is pretty good, just can't do it all with that time against these good quarterbacks with talented receivers downfield. Because, I mean, that being said, you know, we are talking about like Keenan Allen here, who is probably still one of the best player receivers of all time, honestly. He gets I think he's one of the most underrated players, period.
And Herbert's really a hell of a quarterback in the NFL.
He's ridiculous.
He's the guy who should be a lead. The Chargers have never been able to get together with him for whatever reason.
Right. And he's got a lot of weapons that Quentin Johnson's pretty talented. Eckler, Allen. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you give a talented offense like that time, and the pass rush doesn't get there, and you're going to struggle.
Well, one of the
what happened.
One of the reasons he struggled a little bit this year is because their offensive line has been bad, and the Lions did not take advantage of a porous offensive line. They made Chargers' offensive line look excellent today.
Yeah, I do think there's something about the way we pass rush, way we game plan our rush. I don't know; it's different than other teams. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think now, you know, that being said, and good team and all that we played against, but I think something's fundamentally wrong that has to be addressed here as we go down the final stretch of the season here, because they see, you know, we came out pretty strong right in the beginning of the game with the defense, had a three and out right away and had the pick and all that stuff and, you know, looking pretty good. But obviously they adjusted, figured something out, and they just pretty much shredded us the rest of the game. We never adjusted back to them. I can't tell you what it is. I don't know, but something's not right.
The pass rush.
It has to be addressed. It could be the rush. It could be the coverage.
Yeah,
these guys are wide open over the middle of the field. Wide open.
After like 5 seconds.
But on like a third and the third and ten. I mean, Keenan Allen was open after 2 seconds.
Yeah, it seemed like when they
post over the middle at one point.
They dialed up the. Like, they were ready.
No one within like 5 yards
to respond to it. And
Yeah, they picked up absolutely. Our blitz every time.
Destroyed us when we were blitzing. I'm just saying something's not right. You know, Connor bringing up Aaron Glenn, maybe that's overstating the fact, but something has to be addressed. I just think they got to look at this really hard.
I also don't want to get too want to get overblown about this. Like, these NFL offenses have an ability to run scores up even on good defenses. Like, I mean, We gave up a lot of points a couple games this year, but we've also completely stifled some teams. Like, there seems to be a recipe to get to us, but that's still, you got to stop Aiden Hutchinson. And that seems to, and after that, you know, if no one else steps up, the defense becomes vulnerable. But, like, yeah, sure, they hit some early routes, they hit some, but you're also facing good teams in the NFL with talented players making plays. So I don't want to act like our defense is suddenly just like super, like, panic but mode. It's not.
You can argue the top three offenses we've played thus far have all whooped our ass pretty good on the defensive side of the ball.
I mean,
I don't
know.
The Seahawks, the Ravens, yeah, and the Chargers. Like, the Raiders, their offense sucks. The Buccaneers, their offense sucks.
Falcons' offense doesn't suck.
The Falcons' offense?
Not that great.
Not good. They benched their quarterback. Panthers, they stink. They scored 24 on us. That was some garbage time stuff.
We need James Packers. Houston back. That's what I truly believe. I think James Houston is going to be the secret
Well,
here's the thing. Like, I think about how did the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last year? It wasn't because they had some stellar defense. It's because they had a couple dogs who could absolutely get after the quarterback as long as, you know, down the stretch and stuff. They were a scrappy defense, but they had dudes that could, you know, really get after the quarterback in the home stretch, you know, and disrupt him and do enough to kind of get the game home while Mahomes, you know, does his little magic with Kelsey. So I'm just saying, like, we got some guys. I just think we need someone else to step up in the pass rush because that's where it really all starts.
And
stuff the run. Did you guys hear Romo, I think it was, breaking down exactly how they were going to respond to all these different situations against us? Like, he saw it, and they kept working exactly how he was calling it out. And part of that's because the way we protect the run first and stuff like that, and why we're so good at stopping this run, because we're prioritizing it. And I think it's hurting us in the way we defend these quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, I guess part of the criticism I've seen out there, or the questioning, maybe not criticism, should the Lions have gone out and got somebody at the trade deadline like Chase Young to possibly help this pass rush, which they didn't, because they could have gave up, like, the price for Chase Young was a third rounder. Sweat's a little different because he was looking for a contract extension. But
we won. That's the important thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
We did win. A team on the road to throw their best punch, which these guys did, and they outlasted them. So,
how much run game did we give up in this game too? Because I think that's the thing, we try to put the game on these quarterbacks' arms, and when these quarterbacks step up and do it, then you're just like, oh, okay, well.
They average 3.5 yards a carry, 28 for 98, which is pretty good. But, I mean, you have to also factor in, like, the Lions had, like, 4 goal line stops. So, I mean, some of those numbers were a little deflated because of all the goal line running.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun, the goal line stand. Was how many, like, 7 plays in a row?
7.
They got us.
Don't get the 8th.
And that 8th one was so predictable, though. I mean, I was telling people next to me, man, watch, they're gonna fake it, they're gonna pass it, the guy's gonna be wide open.
Double fake. They just threw Keenan Allen out there who couldn't even move.
It was just, I don't know. Yeah. Well, but it's hard to stop any team that many times. It was a fun stand to watch
8
anyway.
Times from the one.
It was fun to watch.
But, like, that's the thing, like, our defense is designed, they try to make teams run or not be able to run. And really it generally works until you face a team whose quarterback can sit there and pick you apart. If you can't then convert that priority to stop the run into violence to break off and rush the passer, which you see it every time against Seahawks, Ravens, now this game, when they're trying to play the run and they can't get that violence to the next level and get off the blocks and stuff, it leaves tons of time for the quarterback. And Romo was describing it in detail throughout that game. And so, you know, right there, UJ, I think that kind of answers your question of what we need to, like, work on right there, is maybe sacrifice a little bit in the run or something, or try to get more creative. I don't know, because it looks like we do creative things, but then when our blitzes are getting picked up,
it's, they,
like,
must have their stallions on the sidelines,
true.
Lines,
you know,
or signals or something.
Yeah, right.
Connor Stallions, Rudd Dog, the Michigan guy who got fired for sign stealing.
Oh, okay.
Bob, what do you think of Harbaugh getting suspended?
Oh, ridiculous. What a joke.
You should be happy.
The whole thing's silly, but I mean, it's, technically he did break a rule. But
they're like, hey, do you want a nice little convenient like martyrdom story in the middle of your attempt to run for like a championship? Yeah. Here you go. Then you can rally around this like persecution.
They still kicked ass, I'm saying, and everyone knows about this whole thing. So, they're just a better team. I mean,
if anything, I think Michigan paid for this treatment. It's helping them more than anything.
Yeah, what do you think? Did you like the coach crying after the game? Like Harbaugh was dead?
Yeah, like the drama of it.
It's emotional, perfect. Man.
Plays in their favor.
There's emotion, and there's like that, that. I don't know. That was interesting, but
gives them a powerful narrative.
It's all pretty silly. But especially if you're the Big Ten. I know we're on a tangent, but like you want your team to go to like the college football playoff because that means more money for your conference. So I don't know. I don't really understand the. You know, ruining your chance of that because that's a lot of money. All at schools, but
yeah, I know.
But all the other schools are ones pressuring them. So I don't know. Anyways, Lions.
Wait, Big Ten's not going to have a representative now.
No. They're harming their chances of possibly getting them in by doing this nonsense. Anyways,
by pushing the case against them. Oh,
yeah.
Back something I think. I can't remember who said it about JMO, but I just want to throw out there again, like, he continues to be a work in progress in the pass game, like, actually catching the ball. But as far as his blocking, he's definitely awesome. The best blocking wide receiver we have in this team. That more than enough warrants his presence out
on
the field.
Is he the best? I don't know if he's the best, but one thing I loved about watching him block for David Montgomery is how he can, like, so effortlessly jog and like pace himself to Montgomery there so that he didn't leave him hanging out. Like, he could have zoomed ahead and left him kind of dry, but he paced it perfectly to go and just secure his route to the end zone. It was beautiful.
And I was waiting for him to overturn that play. I was just waiting for it, because I don't know. It was so close, and I thought.
Have you ever seen anything that close on the sideline? Like,
no.
That little tiny strip of green.
Usually it's like pretty clear cut one way or the other. I've never seen one where they couldn't.
I didn't think there's any way
like,
you could turn that when they called a touchdown.
Right. Yeah. Well, just
I love the way he's run, like Romo pointed out. He's looking the other way. He's going down the sideline, not even looking at his feet, and he's
he wasn't.
No,
but he kept he in. Wasn't. So it
that run was
amazing.
so ridiculous. That cut to the outside to free himself to the sideline. That was like elite as anything you see in the NFL. Like the agility, he went like sideways like 5 yards in the blink of an eye, and. Like was suddenly out in the wide open grass. That was, I mean, what a signing going for him.
Yeah, what
you're not going to see Jamal Williams do that.
No, Jamal Williams is, well, he's been hurt a lot, but yeah, I agree. He's definitely
not even to bash Jamal. You're just not going to see him do that kind of a move. That was just stellar.
Right. No, I think we all agree on that point. But you know, I'm just trying to look through my notes here and things on the game. I just hope the Lions continue to stay healthy on the offensive side of the ball. I will be interested to see what changes they make on the defensive side because it's going to be it needs to be something significant.
Continuing to get healthy would be nice. Getting like Houston or like CJGJ or somebody like that back on the.
I mean, that's not coming for a while though. Still, so
yeah.
Yeah, but could it come in time?
No, but I agree. I think something has to be addressed, and they got to maybe take a different approach or try something different.
Well, the good news for the Lions is that they have the Bears at home in Detroit coming up. And then they have the Packers on Thanksgiving, so two home games in a row against two inferior divisional opponents. So hopefully that could ride the ship a little bit in the confidence wagon.
Uh-oh.
Y'all can hear me, right?
Divisional rivals. Where I think he was going to say rivals.
Yes, divisional rivals who are sucky.
Yes. Yeah, so we have a good chance of beating those guys. And then after that, we play more inferior teams and more inferior teams after that.
All teams are inferior.
So I think what Zach's trying to get, you know, his message here is that we got a very favorable schedule going forward. And we should be able to make
UJ,
some
didn't
hay
you see
here
this
NFC.
One is one of the tough games on the schedule? I put the list. We're probably the toughest. I mean, they're all.
I did, absolutely. But now you got to add Minnesota in there because they're playing tough right now.
Yeah, and they just got that.
I didn't think that early.
We should win all those games, but I don't think you ever take a division game lightly, especially the way Minnesota's playing.
Never.
Well, the puncher's chance. Yeah. They're going to get better, you know, as the year goes on.
They do. I mean, right. I think they got a puncher's chance. They do.
But you can't take any game like on this schedule, I think.
Not in the NFL, man. The NFL, like, how many times has everything flipped on its head in the NFL this season where, like, the 49ers looked like a juggernaut and now lost three in a row and, like, the Broncos looked like they couldn't, like, beat a high school team after playing Miami and then they beat, you know, the Eagles or something. Like, it's the NFL, man. Parity everything is only different by margins and, like, sure, there's going to be some significance there, but it's not that big of a difference between any team.
Yeah, and I give Campbell a lot of credit for having this team ready. After the bye week, you know, the guys get a little relaxed and stuff and, you know, feeling a little cocky. But I think he kept their head straight. And granted, it was a mostly offensive performance, but still, I think he kept their heads on straight enough that we came out with the win in this one.
I get kicked out for a second. You're talking about people's heads being crooked or something. I'm glad they're straight now.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah. We were continuing your conversation there. We finished
that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, the Bears and Packers, in short, should be a great way to write the ship defensively.
Yeah, for sure.
Because on that note, like, the Lions are now 7-2. The 2 seed right now, if the season ended today, obviously a long way to go, but game and a half lead in the division, a team called the Minnesota Vikings, who lost their starting quarterback, lost their all-pro wide receiver, have now won 5 in a row. Yeah. They were 1-4, now they're 6-4, and they won a game last week with a quarterback that was there for 3 days, didn't know anybody's name, besides probably people he's seen in... Like, I don't know.
That's the secret, Z. Baker Mayfield came in with, he didn't even know Baker. The team, and suddenly he wins the game and he's doing that. Just fast.
Yeah. Now, this kid Dobbs is almost becoming one of the big stories in the NFL. I mean,
definitely.
He's kicking ass right now, and he's looking good doing it. I don't know.
He's got weapons.
Gotta give him props.
So I would definitely not discount them by any means.
Got a winning record too, so yeah, that would be pretty dumb.
6-4.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they have not had their bye yet, so we have we're 7-2. So we have a game and a half on them right now. But we play them the two of the last three games of the season.
Yeah,
which is one of the more bizarre scheduling things you'll see. But this is the Lions' remaining schedule. In case you're listening, don't know it off the top of your head. Home against the Bears on Sunday, then Thanksgiving. Against the Packers. Obviously, that's at home. Then we go on the road for two at New Orleans, at Chicago. Home against the Broncos on the 17th. Christmas Eve, it's at Minnesota. New Year's, the day before, 12:30, December 30th, at Dallas. That should be an interesting one. That could be for seeding ramifications, possibly.
Very interesting.
And then the last one is at home against the Vikings to close out the season. Could that be the third division? I hope not. I hope we haven't wrapped up by then, but
I hope so.
That looks like 14-2 to me, honestly.
Oh yeah.
15-2.
No, wait, it doesn't right 15-2.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Vikings was like forfeit the last one. I don't know, I'm just trying to think of a scenario where 16 games are played instead of 17. Anyways, so I mean, it's a very favorable schedule. Again, the Lions should be favored in every one of those games. Well, I don't know. Now the Vikings, the way they're playing, the Lions might not be favored when they go to Minnesota, depending on how their season unfolds the rest of the way. But either way, definitely a more favorable schedule than maybe some others out there. If the Lions continue to win, like the Eagles have a really tough stretch. They're playing like the Eagles, the Bills, the Bengals. The Eagles are playing
the
Chiefs. Yeah, but you play yourselves every week, too. The Lions play themselves every week for penalties. But Sorry, I meant the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Bengals, I know, are in there too. So they have a tough stretch as opposed to the Lions. So a lot of interesting, a lot of fun. Actually, you know who the Lions would play right now? They would host the Vikings if the season ended today. So
yeah,
they play them a third time in 4 weeks.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, after we beat them two times at the end of the season, I have a feeling they're not going to be standing so high.
True.
Yeah, I just got to say a funny thing as a fan. Now that this team has been as good as they are, we know that we have finally have a good team to watch, and they're winning this game, and now I feel myself like fretting over the poor defensive performance and stuff like this, and I go, what's wrong with me, man? Like, let's enjoy these wins. A win is a win, right? Like, we used to just think be so elated just to have a victory. And now these victories.
I'm pretty elated. What are you talking about?
Good. Oh, my God. Like,
I'm pretty elated. I mean,
like, enjoy it. Like, this game.
You know what I mean? I love
the fact that they were chasing us and seeing us instead of icing them. Like, I thought, whoa, if they score and tie, we'll score again. Like, I like our chances in this game. Enjoy it. Enjoy the ride.
I'm not fretting so much. It's just, like, I would have never questioned that before. I just come off this thing. Yeah, oh, my God, we won a fucking game. Like, now I'm like, we won, but, oh, man, our defense, really, I'm a little worried about what's going on there. Like, why?
And I just want to throw out Ben.
Worry about something.
We haven't mentioned his name yet, but Ben Johnson just continues to just be an excellent play caller. Just, like, knowing how to dial up the right play call at the right time. That's not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of coaches out there that can, like, scheme up some good plays but not call them at the right time, and he just continuously displays great timing with his play calls. Is the first I like Ben the Lions' first quarter a lot because the Lions just come out, like, ready to go in their first 15 plays every week. They just seem to really know how to attack the weaknesses when starting the game, and they did that today. Well, the penalty really hurt them because I love that play design to J-Mo on the swing pass. That was great. It was great, like, use of his skill set. The Lions said they focused a lot on the bye week and the red zone on both sides. And I thought, you know, they came out, it showed initially there.
Only the one really. Oh, yeah, I guess the penalty and then the stop.
Right. But either way, so as much as we're harping on Aaron Glenn, I just want to throw credit to the other coordinator on the team, Ben Johnson. Not that we don't do it enough, but
you know, I will say this too.
Yeah, say it again.
The eye test and the way things unfolded. Like, I know they put up a lot of points on us, but, like, I still say we made it way harder on their offense than their defense made it on ours. Like, they had to work. Like, most of those drives had so many plays because they kept having to use everything to get down on us and stuff. I just felt like our defense just kept giving up the big play when they just couldn't, you know, just couldn't get them off the field, which was really fresh. But I still say we made it harder on them.
I guess it's a
real
victory and defense by regard.
Well, it's a real victory because we won. Ah, you guys are killing me with this energy right now. Jesus, we're 7-2. We just won. Like, I mean, oh, God, we gave up a bunch of points. It's the NFL. We went against a high-powered offense. They put up a bunch of points, but we won. Who cares? Hey, guess what? We can play them next week.
Weren't you discounting the first game because they didn't have all their players?
We know this offense.
Thought it was like, yeah.
Jesus. No,
not really.
Oh, I forgot to say we're 6-2 with a win with an asterisk.
We don't understand my stance on that.
You guys twist it that way. We just said we want your team's best shot. You know, that's all.
I forgot to point out in the standings that we have an asterisk next to the 7, and they point to the first game as
they're all winning. No matter.
No asterisk.
Oh boy.
That's right. It's the NFL. Like. And
well,
it in a fluky way. Like, these wins are real. This team is solid. So, yeah,
we're not
sure.
Fake wins.
There's ways we struggle, solid. You know, in each game, but, like, some days our offense plays better, some days our defense plays better, and today our offense played better, but let's not forget, there was a turnover our defense gave us early in the game that helped make sure we got that dub. So, I mean, our defense didn't do nothing in that game.
Good point.
Yeah, they slowed them down long enough for us to get the ball back to win at the end.
More than they slowed us down.
Exactly.
We won the game.
We're not unhappy about the victory. Of course, we're elated. Yeah, I mean, especially through what we've been through. Every win.
We got to talk about something.
But I mean,
yeah.
We have Super Bowl aspirations on this podcast, Road Dog.
Yes.
And a defensive performance like this.
Yeah, well, you don't get to Super Bowl like
that. The Eagles had some sketchy wins.
You're not going to Super Bowl giving up 38 points a game either.
They suck. They suck because they barely won. They won. They win.
Yeah, exactly. Win. Right.
You're right, Bob. You're right.
And look,
a win is a win, damn it.
Look, when we struggle, it's against good teams. We dominate the lesser teams. We battle the good teams. That's what good teams do.
That's how it works.
And this one, we won the Ravens one.
Yeah.
One we really shout out jokingly. The Seahawks, we could have won the game. It came to overtime, you know. So,
true.
Yeah. You know, but every team gets one of those too. Like, the Chiefs lost to Denver. Like, good Lord. And then, you know, we did that one to the Ravens. So, like, every team gets one of those a year, right? Even Super Bowl teams get one of those. Right?
We did it to the Patriots that one year under Patricia.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So the Ravens one.
Like
that's the one. That's our one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The Honolulu blue pill.
Yes. Yeah. The red pill or the blue. I don't know. The blue pill. So, that's right. You have chosen wisely.
Yeah.
How deep the
little
Indian
story or whatever.
I'm mixing my movies up here, but that's okay. Yeah.
Anybody else that we want to mention here?
Like we did play good on our run defense. That was solid.
I do want to say on that pick,
Campbell.
On that pick, Kirby Joseph, that was an excellent catch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super catch.
That was great ball skills right there to get 2 feet in and everything like that.
Yeah. It was a little shout out to Brock Wright, you know, making that big
Brock
play.
Man. Yeah. I love having him and where he's at on this roster. He's that perfect little secret weapon just waiting to kill you. Forget about him.
I love these guys we don't talk about a lot, and they come up big in a game, you know, make a big play.
And just touching on time real quick. I do like the fact that they're involving him a little bit more in some of the shorter stuff, and just get a couple catch belt, get a little timing with Goff, you know, and then they'll be able to break it open. And you know, as the season goes on, but
You know, Bob, I think you're right.
He's just brewing
I think
right
he is
now.
Slowly but surely getting a little more into the action. And this is building up to a nice wave going toward the end of the season.
If he ever turned it up, right?
This, you know, be a whole, he's that X factor right now. We don't know how good he can be, you know.
It's
he did have a nice catch on the. It was kind of like a broken play. Came back to the ball, caught it low.
That was a great play.
So he can catch it.
It was a hard catch, and he made it. It was a nice catch.
They're still this offense is still like kind of like an iceberg right now. I feel like we're just seeing the tip of the potential. Like, I mean, it's really coming to fruition at running back now, but like you just see like what if JMO really starts to develop. Like, I think he's brewing right now because like he's just putting in consistency like Dan Campbell wants. And one of these days, they're gonna draw up the right plays and he's gonna have a big impact on the game directly. And like. That when he does that, this offense is going to go to a whole new level. Like, because like I do feel like that last receiver position, like Reynolds has kind of gone quiet. It's really become like, you know, the Amon-Ra St. Brown wide receiver show, and then sort of Raymond sprinkled in there a little bit more. But like, I feel like we need another receiver to step up more significantly, and I think that's going to be J-Mo.
Yeah,
yeah. And Khalif had a big 41 yarder right after that touchdown to help set up the game winning field goal there at the end. I mean, great
really
scheme.
Nice.
Great scheme. I mean, he couldn't have been any more wide open on the crossing route.
But. You know, he's probably not the fastest guy in the NFL, but when that guy's full running, full tilt, it's so fun to watch him. Like his legs, the way he moves, like he's a pretty runner to watch. You know, I mean, the way he just full tilt running.
He's
just
very pretty.
Yeah, he's good form. Good form.
Way to go, Sleep. Those feet are moving so damn fast.
Yeah, and he's also, knock on wood, a very reliable punt returner, which I don't know if you watch a lot of college or NFL, even other games during the day. Like the Browns today, for instance, like Donald Peoples Jones actually was their punt returner. And they missed him today because that guy, their new guy, muffed the punt. But and you routinely see a lot of these guys muff a punt. And I think Khalif Raymond's, I'm trying to recall, has he muffed one? Oh, I don't want to say it out loud. I don't want to say it out loud.
He might have done one, but I think he got it back. But on that point, just real quick, there was always a rule like this halo around the catcher. You had to give him like a yard. But it seems like that rule has changed. You can be like literally on the guy practically while he's catching the ball. You can't actually like hit him, but you don't have to give him that space.
Yeah, you just can't repeat the catch.
Yeah.
But the concentration, I think that rule's changed over time. And people bearing down on him.
I don't know. Just something I observed. Anyway.
You know.
Absolutely.
No kidding. I think Laporta deserves another just mention. I think he stepped up for a couple really big plays today. That conversion on the 4th and 2. Oh, my gosh.
That was as big as play as there is, man.
Basically
won the game for us.
He's like, he's so damn consistent. Kind of reminds me of like, he's like a tight end version of St. Brown. Like, he gets like 3+ catches every single game. Like,
4 for 40 today.
He got 4. Yeah. I was hoping he got his 4 because, like, I don't think he's had less than 4, maybe like once.
It's funny if we didn't, if Laporta wasn't playing like he was, we'd be probably complaining about just trading Hockenson away because Hockenson's kicking ass in Minnesota, but Laporta's just playing awesome. So definitely neutralized.
Yeah, Laporta had 3 against Carolina. It's the only one he hasn't had 4 or more in.
You might be right, UJ, but I think we knew what Hawk was, and he's doing a really good job.
No, he's doing a great job right now, and but thank God Laporta's as good as he is because we're not missing that.
No, absolutely.
And we got a much cheaper version.
Yeah, exactly, way cheaper,
and a better blocker.
That's I would say Holmes. He's got this year. Plus, he has the long term in mind. All this stuff that I think it's part of the reason why they put pass rusher because he's looking at what we need in the draft.
Yeah,
draft capital, who we have to pay, who can afford.
Right.
Did I don't know if that's come up on the pod yet, but did you know that the reason we couldn't get anybody is all his offers and trades were he wouldn't offer anything from next year's draft? Like, that's why we just didn't score in the top rung. We weren't willing to bid next year's draft resources.
Yeah, I
believe that.
Which I feel like next year is probably like the final foundational draft of this team, like to where you round out like the last of sort of like your core stars.
Yeah. Did we talk about it before last week that every Holmes draft is still with team? Every draft.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely incredible.
That's wild, man. Yeah.
So that's kind of nuts.
That's incredible.
Nuts. So keep that going. We'll be competitive for years.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Holmes and Campbell team is something to behold, baby.
I didn't guys get to see the post game. I didn't get to see the locker room stuff.
I'm sure
it's going to be awesome.
I didn't see locker
room. I know.
Yeah.
Fun. Man. And Rod Dog, you had to be excited to watch Amon-Ra today. Come on.
What did he do again? Oh, like 100.
He had a few catches, a few
yards. And a touchdown.
Most boring.
Oh, how about the. I mean, I think it's underrated how great of a catch that was on his touchdown catch. The quick screen, the low throw to him. He caught it with his fingertips like an inch off the ground. And it made it look effortless.
Did he only have one touchdown or two?
One, I think.
One.
The one. Yeah, the one.
Oh, okay. It was on the screen? Or like the bubble screen?
Yeah.
He could have had two, but he got caught. Mind of that one. But,
I thought he had one where he like almost got it.
8 for 156.
Yeah, he is absolutely dynamite. I can't like.
Hey, Big Z, what's his season?
Can't say
right
enough
now?
About the
can
guy.
You tell me that.
I can. He has 821 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he's averaging 12 yards per catch.
How many catches?
He has 65.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and he missed one game. That's why.
Yeah, he had 106 last year. He had 106 last. So he's on pace to surpass that.
Pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see the catch stat versus his draft class, who has all higher profile guys, arguably? 260 to like the next lowest guy. Next guy is Ja'Marr Chase, like 230 or something. Great.
Yeah, way ahead.
He is a dynamo.
Yeah, and they're gonna have to pay him. So
they gotta pay him. He's
if you
a
don't
must
pay him.
Pay.
Then you don't pay any. Like you're
you
not gonna
pay him.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, that man.
I mean, even if you let the running backs go, you can just hand it off to him anyway. So, you know, you got this guy.
That's one guy you pay, buddy.
No kidding.
Pay him.
No effing kidding. That guy, yeah. No, and this was one of his best games of his career, honestly. Like, 154 yards and a touchdown. This, like, honestly, the guy across from him, who I was seeing some nice comparisons today, because Keenan Allen, I just have, like, an immense respect for that dude as a player. Like, I think he is one of the best to ever done it, and every time, you know, like, it's hard to be mad when he beats you because he's just so good, but I see so much of what he does in Amon-Ra, like that consistent just tear your heart out production.
Well, again, Amon-Ra's in his third year, it's 4-year contract, so next year's his last year.
And unlike Keenan, I think Amon-Ra's not going to get wasted on a win, you know, teams that never go anywhere. I think he's actually going to get Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think Keenan, unfortunately, will not.
Well, if you're wondering what the top contract for wide receiver in the NFL is, since we're on the topic, it's Tyreek Hill. $120 million, $30 a year, $120 million. 72 guaranteed out of all that. I would imagine Amon-Ra we'll be going for somewhere in that neighborhood to a degree. The fifth highest is Stephon Diggs, $96 million, 24 a year. So, anyways, it looks like Amon-Ra will be caught. I'm trying to see who had the most recent contract.
What's like the biggest like dollar moving stat for receivers? Is it yards, touchdowns, like receptions? Like, I'm
hard
curious
to say.
I feel like
overall effectiveness for the team, like, that's why it's just hard to say. Especially Amon-Ra's really young. Like, some of these guys got their contracts when they're in their late 20s. Amon-Ra's 24, so he's worth even more because of how young he is still, too.
Still on his rookie
contract. Different
than
Tyreek Hill. Like, Tyreek Hill has that blazing speed. That
right.
Killerness.
But he's also similar in regards, like, he finds a soft spot in the zone and can beat you that way too. So
except for he's not gonna run away from me like Hill does.
No So
let's just make it 100 million. Give him 100.
That's the only reason I mean, can't put him on that tier of like a Hill.
Every year the cap,
I'm writing a number down in this paper and sliding it across to you.
Here's a blank check. Just fill in the amount you want.
Just keep writing zeros till your heart's content.
So maybe AJ Brown is a good AJ Brown's a beast too, but 100, he got 100 million.
I still say
that's a lot of money, but yeah, I'll probably be like that.
I still say he is Golden Tate 3.0. I said 2.0, but now he's 3.0. I think, but he reminds me so much of Golden Tate, that kind of slot guy who's so quick, gets open all the time. He moves like a jitterbug, like a water bug. Just changes direction so immediate, so fast. Just reminds me so much of Tate, except he's better.
Plus, he's got that strength.
Yeah, we just need to see him backflip into the end zone on a game.
Yeah,
on a game
but
winner.
He's stronger. He's tougher. He's all those things. Yeah. And he's just a better version. You know,
for sure.
That's my favorite comparison.
I don't know.
Shine him in the end,
he's
but I think that's a good comparison though.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting time when some of these contracts come through. Like, that's why we got like this window now, which I guess that's why I think they're thinking he's probably not going to want his contract next year, but probably maybe the year after they get away. I don't know, because like these things have a way of coming to a head. These guys tend to want their money before they finish out their current contracts now.
Well, they've been pretty smart. I don't know all the numbers and all that, but I mean, look, rookie year contracts for Gibbs and Laporta. I mean, we're going to have to pay Amon-Ra and probably Goff before in the next couple of years. Sewell. Well, so we do have a few guys we're going to have to pay. But we do have guys under contract for the next 2-3 years, like key
also,
guys. So
be prepared to see the mercilessness. I think you're get ready to see like the true villain, whatever you want to say, of Brad Holmes come out as this team starts to come to a head like that in certain areas, because you know we're not going to pay everybody. And you can't.
It's a good problem to have. But
you don't want to just exactly. be like, you got to convert things in the future. So like there's going to be some painful things in the not too distant future where some of these guys go. We maybe even we trade them a little, you know, early to make something happen before it's like a Vince Wilfork or something. Who knows? But right now, this season, where we're at, I love this team. So much going on right now. Maybe we could use a little more little teeth on that pass rush, but besides that, it's hard to complain about this roster.
True.
Yeah. This is a really fun team. 7-2. Lions right now a 2 seed at the season end today in the NFC. Hard to complain, especially where we've been over many, many years. As Lions fans, especially recently. But we will get into everything about the upcoming game where the Lions will be hosting the Bears. I imagine 10-point favorites. I haven't looked at the go-ahead line, but I imagine it'll be heavy favorites. Against a Bears team at 3-7, coming off a victory.
That's a bad game. That Bears game.
On Thursday Night Football against the mighty Panthers.
Baguette, man.
That was maybe the most boring game I've ever seen.
It was very boring.
Baguette is the future.
Well, I think Field should be back for this one. He almost returned to Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, keep him on the bench. Baguette's the guy.
Bajent? Tyson Bajent?
Oh, I thought it was named after the pastry. Bajent, yeah. No, I don't know. The Bears are an interesting team right now, especially because you got they just added, what's his face?
Oh, Sweat.
Montez Sweat.
And he looked good in his first appearance. He'll probably just all be right. enough to help them, move their way away from a super Hydra.
We will crush the Bears. We'll beat them so bad.
Don't worry. We'll have a lot of time to shit all over the Bears later this week when we preview that game on. So we'll do that on Wednesday night. The pod will probably come out Thursday, like usual. We'll probably have an Enter the Lions
day. I think, remind me next week, my Rory not to go fantasy
game
this week.
Sorry. You're good. But that'll come later this week. We've been recording this live on YouTube. That's at DTBK, where you can search and subscribe so that you can alert any other live streams that we do or any other videos. Or just type Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube. Also, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. And then our Gmail as well, drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. Send us any questions or any sort of communication you like on there. Love to hear from you. And then, of course, I want to thank our producer,
Kid J.
Thanks for doing a great job producing this podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you to sidelineport.com for sponsoring the podcast. Really appreciate you as well. Other than that, you know, Lions sitting at 7-2.
Not too shabby.
I don't know if you can tell from my voice. A little stuffy right now. Got a little cold going on, but I will still sleep very happily, very soundly after a Lions victory. That'll help my sleep tonight. So,
all right.
As it always does after any victory. I've had a lot of great Sunday night sleeps on a Sunday night this year. Because just the work day, everything on Monday is just so much better. It's just a little extra pep in the step, you know? A little pep in the step. So I hope the people throughout Detroit and throughout the country that are Lions fans also have a little extra pep in their step tomorrow morning.
Yeah, baby.
As they think about this number 2 seed, Lions battling for 1 seed and home throughout the playoffs. So the Lions get home throughout the playoffs. It's over. You might as well just, pack our bags to Super Bowl in Las Vegas. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back later this week previewing the upcoming game against the Bears. And last but not least, as always,
go!
Lions!
field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.